I'd like to invite you together tonight to turn to the book of 1 Peter in the second chapter. Our summer schedule is such that it's not possible for us to maintain just an uninterrupted sequence of Bible studies. But we have, beginning, I believe, toward the end of May, been attempting to give some sustained attention to the matter that we are commanded about in Ephesians 6:18. And we are directed there that when we pray, and whatever the nature or the character of our prayers, that it be always in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, the Scripture directs us. And what we are going to do tonight is to continue the matter of attempting to understand how we can assess that. How can we gauge at any time whether or not we are doing that? And the importance of that, of course, is that you can make a very clear scriptural argument for saying that prayer that is not in the Spirit is not actually acceptable to God. He may, just out of mercy, great consideration of grace, choose to hear our prayers even when they're not of that character. But if we want to ensure that we will be heard, then it is necessary for us to give attention to consciously being certain that our praying is in the Spirit. Last time that we gave some attention to this, I felt that it would be good if I recommended some titles on prayer throughout the course of this. And I started with three the last time, and I want to add a fourth tonight. Would have added more, but time consideration is such that we'll just limit it to one tonight. But you may remember that I called to our attention E.M. Bounds' book, Power Through Prayer. It originally was entitled Preacher and Prayer. I also called to your attention a book by D.L. Moody on prayer, and then this book that I trust I can read a portion out of toward the conclusion of the sermon tonight by Alexander White, entitled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. I want to add a fourth title tonight, but there actually are only a few of the sermons in this book that have to do with prayer. But that is the treatment that is given to the Lord's Prayer by David Martin Lloyd-Jones in his work on the Sermon on the Mount. This work consists of about 60 individual sermons that he preached in the 1950s. And this book very quickly almost reached classic status. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of copies have probably been read, but the treatment of the Lord's Prayer in this consists of just three sermons. And you may recall from a series that we had some time ago where we dipped in to the teaching or admonitions about prayer from various figures in church history, that what we discovered is that historically, many authorities on prayer and on Scripture teaching have concluded that the Lord's Prayer is the index of all proper subjects for praying, that all praying does fall underneath the heading of one or more of the statements or petitions in the Lord's Prayer. So our having something to read that has to do with the Lord's Prayer surely is an important matter when we consider the issue of what are some really recommended titles? And because Lloyd-Jones' three sermons covering the Lord's Prayer have some compactness to them, but they're also extremely insightful, I would highly recommend them to you. Unfortunately, I'm not aware that they are actually available in audio form, but I checked this afternoon, and you can get a free PDF of them on the web. Unless you, of course, own this copy or want to buy a copy of the entire work. But I would heartily recommend that to you. What I want to do now is turn our attention to the fifth verse of 1 Peter chapter 2, where we are told that as living stones, we are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, the purpose of which is that we would be able to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God, and do so, of course, through Jesus Christ. And we're in the portion of this prayer study that has to do with this matter of how we may assess whether we're praying in the Spirit. And what I set forth, first of all, is that we need to be sure that when we pray, we are praying as the Spirit is. Now, the grammar of that isn't quite correct, because the point I'm getting at is that when we pray, we need to be of the same character as the Spirit. But in order to put the emphasis on our praying, I'm expressing it the way I am. In grammar, that's not quite correct. We need to pray as the Spirit is. Well, how is the Spirit? What is His character? Throughout the Scripture, we're taught to refer to the Spirit primarily as what? He is the Holy Spirit. And so the point being, we need to pray holy as the Spirit is holy. That's the sense in which it isn't quite grammatical. But the point is that if we want to be sure that we are ourselves in keeping with that admonition and that our praying is acceptable, then we ourselves need to be prayers. We need to be persons as the Spirit Himself is. We need to be holy people. And we gave attention to that in the last study together. And what I want to do is move now to a second point regarding that. And the point is just simply this tonight, that understanding that and being in keeping with it brings a magnificence to a prayer gathering like this one tonight. That praying as the Spirit of God is, being holy people as He is holy when we pray, that brings a magnificence to a prayer meeting like this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, is a primary reference that I think will help us to understand what I mean by this, what I'm getting at. Magnificence to a prayer meeting like this, when we check ourselves to be sure we're praying in the Spirit. We're holy as the Spirit of God is holy when we pray. If you look at this text that we read together, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, I want to call your attention, first of all, to what this text says we are, to the conception here. It refers to us as stones, singular, and a house. I'm sorry, stones, plural, and a house, singular. You see that? Look at it again. You also, as living stones, plural, are being built up as a spiritual house, singular. Individually, as the Lord's people, in a meeting like this, we are, it's referred to here, as stones. And God Himself, He is the one who's doing the building here. God Himself is building us together to be a house. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to call our attention to a conception that is introduced in the second chapter of Ephesians. We're told there that the nature of this building is that of a temple. The word house here general word. More specifically, we as stones are being built by God up into a temple. And if you notice, please, the nature of this temple is that it is spiritual. And there are two things that I want us to note about that for our understanding. One is that obviously it is a contrast to a material temple, a temple that's made out of wood and stone. No, this one is spiritual in nature. But the second thing that we need to note is that that word spiritual really should be capitalized. Because it isn't just referring to our inner person or all of us together as creating a sort of corporate inner person that is in contrast to something material. What it's referring to here is what this text in Ephesians chapter 2 is going to say. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to have us turn to it, but I want to read it to you. Would you please listen to this and capture it? Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple. That's what I was talking about. This house Peter is referring to, Ephesians 2 calls, more specifically, a temple. Christ is its chief cornerstone. We're being built into a temple in the Lord. Now listen to the next line. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit, capital S. A dwelling of God in the Spirit. What that is reference to is this, that it is the Spirit of God dwelling in this temple that we are. And you may remember from our series in Ephesians that that book has to do with what God the Father is doing in the church by Christ for his own glory forever. And the second chapter introduces us to the fact that when it comes to Christ, God the Father is constituting us his body. Now change of imagery, change of metaphor. God the Father is also constituting us a temple for his Spirit. Peter is referring to this in these other terms. We are stones individually. God himself is building us up to a spiritual, capital S, a temple indwelt by the Spirit of God. It's a magnificent conception. And what I want to ask you to look at, would you please note that what is said here, I didn't ask you to turn to it, but in Ephesians 2, it says that we're growing into, here's the word, a holy temple. My point, what I started with, if I want to know whether or not I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I need to start with the character that I have at that moment. Am I myself holy as the Spirit of God is holy? When we come together to pray in a prayer meeting like this, are we a holy temple in our prayer meeting? Are we as a group characterized by the nature of the Holy Spirit? And the purpose, I want to move you to this now. This is what we are. And what is the purpose for which we are built up this way? It's in the next line. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. And again, I would suggest that the S should be capitalized. It is in contrast to material sacrifices. We don't offer the blood of bulls and goats, or we don't bring grain offerings, material substances. But in the New Testament, anything that is truly spiritual is so because of the work of God's Holy Spirit. It isn't merely a contrast between the material and something that is metaphysical. It always has the background of the Spirit of God and His conditioning things so that they actually are His work. They're spiritual in that sense. And what this passage is saying to us is that we actually constitute a temple, it says, for a holy priesthood, that we function in that way. Now, what it means, of course, is that this verse is informing us of the fact that we are both the temple and the what? We are both the temple and the priests who are ministering in that temple. It's a great combination here. The one is the purpose for the other. We are constituted a spiritual temple for the purpose of our being a holy priesthood. It's a remarkable thing. Now, I want to enlarge on that for just a moment. We probably seldom conceive of ourselves this way. And yet, particularly when you come to the book of Revelation, this is highlighted at least three times. When that book opens, John expresses that God has made us to be a kingdom and priests to His God, that is Christ. God Himself has made us priests, or Christ has made us a kingdom and made us priests to His God and Father. Now, that's a remarkable statement. When you think of the work of Christ on our behalf and what He has, in the end, constituted us individually to be, the last book of our Bible says, right through church history, right from the beginning, each of God's people is a priest to God and the Father. And this is stated again in the fifth chapter, where a window to heaven is opened up, and we're given a glimpse of the Lord's people gathered around the throne, issuing their acclamations of praise to Christ. Listen to these words, speaking of Christ. Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, because you were slain and have redeemed us to God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. Acclamations of praise to God the Son, because having redeemed us with His blood, He's made us priests. And at the very end of the book, the 20th chapter, moving into the millennial state, there is a blessing pronounced. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of the righteous. And over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Folks, in the millennium, when we reign, we will be reigning priests. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. That idea is introduced in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Look at it again. Would you look at it again? Would you look at the lines with me, please? And just think through again, right interpretation of these lines. We are individual living, not non-living, inanimate stones. We're living stones God is building us up. We are being built up as a spiritual, capital S, a temple indwelt by God's Spirit, a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. And the purpose for that, as this is stated in this verse, is that we might be constituted a priesthood. The priests had a temple. They had a tabernacle. They had a temple in the Old Testament. We're priests. We constitute a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 said that to us. Remember this verse. Do you not know that you, the you is plural in that verse. It's referring to all of us together in a local church. Do you not know that you, plural, are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, plural, you as an assembly? Here it is before us. We as a church, we are a temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us as a group. And the purpose we're being told for our being constituted a temple like that is so that we also will be a priesthood. All together, we are a priesthood. That's what we are in this verse. Now, move on in the verse. The purpose for our being such a temple and a priesthood is that we might be able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, I introduced this idea tonight that if we pray as the Spirit is, if we are a holy people as the Spirit is, when we come together tonight, there is a magnificence to a meeting like this. What is the magnificence? That we're a temple. That we are a priesthood in a temple tonight. And that we actually are going to offer sacrifices. Now, what are those sacrifices? If this is what we are, and offering sacrifice is what we do, what are those sacrifices? Well, if you go through the New Testament and you find the references, there are several kinds of sacrifices that we offer. I'm going to mention two because they're relevant to what we're doing tonight. They're relevant to our topic. Number one, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, every single one of you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And what's the next word? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. We need to be as the Holy Spirit is. We are a temple to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And in the first place, it's the entirety of ourselves being of the same character as the Spirit of God who dwells in this temple. But when it comes to our prayer meeting, I want to ask you now to turn to chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews. You just have to turn a couple of pages back probably in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 13 and the 15th verse. Now, you know that one of the primary points of the book of Hebrews is the persuading of these Jewish people that the Old Testament sacrificial system with its priesthood is done away. There is a new covenant. Jesus Christ himself is not only king, but he is high priest when it comes to this covenant. And this being the case, none of God's people anymore approach an earthly material temple and offer physical animal sacrifices. But this book ends by informing us we do offer sacrifices. Look at the 15th verse. Through the Lord Jesus, through him then, let us continually offer sacrifice. And what are we told in this verse that it is? Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. When we rightly conceive of what the Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us, and the nature of the new covenant, and the liberty that we have from the law, and the constant, unbroken access that we have to the very mercy seat of God, and on with the truths revealed in this book, continually, when you think of that, all the time, continually, offer praise. Always be praising. Don't ever, and we all fail in this, but we ought not. We ought always be in keeping with this. The attitude, the disposition of our spirit ought to always be conditioned by the new covenant, by the high priest that we have, by our access that we have to the mercy seat. And when we praise like that, this is sacrifice. It is the sacrifice of praise. Goes on and says, it's the fruit of our lips. Not the fruit of our agricultural produce. Not the fruit of animals that we raise in the stall. This is taken from the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter, as you know. And it refers to the fruit of our lips. Actually, this is a quotation taken from Hosea chapter 14, verse 2, where it has reference to calves, the calves. We're offering calves. But Lord, there are no animals here tonight. No, the calves of your lips, strange language to us, but it's taking into account the Old Testament parallel and imagery, those animal sacrifices. It's been replaced by your two lips. They're like calves. They're like offering your very best, your unblemished. Offer through the calves of your lips constant praise. It's your sacrifice to God. And I want to give to you three other references in closing. The 141st Psalm in the second verse refers to prayer as being like incense. Remember that incense was offered in censers, that is, golden containers filled with coals. And there was this sacred incense that God had given the recipe for. Nothing else was to be made like it. And it was to be sprinkled on these burning coals, and there would be the going up of a beautiful aroma. The 141st Psalm says that our prayer is like incense. It goes up like that. The writer says, may my prayer be counted that way, the lifting up of my hands like an evening offering. Well, folks, that isn't just an Old Testament idea. Because again, if you go to the last book of your Old Testament, we're told something that we never would have known. I've already referenced Revelation chapter 5, in which the people of God give praise to the Son, that by his blood he's redeemed them and made them priests. And that same chapter in the 8th verse speaks of their being before God at this present time in his temple as he rules on his throne. Revelation 5:8 speaks of golden bowls full of incense. And here's the incense, which are the prayers of the saints. We are a temple tonight. we will be performing priestly function tonight. When we pray, it is incense offered before the throne of God. And you have the same statement in Revelation chapter 8, verse 4, which speaks of the smoke of incense with the prayers of the saints going up before God, and so on. So, folks, I want to bring us back to this. What is it to pray in the Spirit tonight? Well, first of all, there's more to it than this, but first of all, it is to be certain that we are functioning as holy priests in a holy temple. Because what we are doing is the offering up of incense before God when we pray. And by God's grace, may it be entirely acceptable to Him. The first time that this concept was ever brought to my attention was through reading this little book, Lord Teach Us to Pray by Alexander White. That book first came into my hands in 1979. And the very first page, I want to read you a portion of the first page, and we'll be finished tonight. The very first page, White says, our office is the royal priesthood, but we do not nearly enough magnify and exalt our royal priesthood. To be kings and priests unto God, what a magnificent office that is. That's why I said there is a magnificence to a prayer meeting like this when you bring to it the scriptural conception. Our office is magnificent. But then we who hold that office are men. Now he's going to chide us. We are men and women of such small and little minds. Our souls so cleave to this earth that we never so much as attempt to rise to the height and the splendor of that magnificent office. If our minds were only enlarged and exalted at all, we would be found before God far oftener than we are, with our scepter in our hand, we're a kingdom, and our mitre on our heads, we are priests. And we would perform our magnificent office. By God's grace, let's do that tonight. We bow for prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for what you have revealed to us in your word, and we pray that your Spirit would open the eyes of our understanding so that our hearts are impressed with these truths in a truly transforming way. You have renewed our minds tonight. Gracious Lord, we pray that your Spirit would change us, would alter us, would transform us with this truth, so that there is truly the functioning in our prayer meetings that is magnificent. And we ask in Christ Jesus' precious name, amen.